Mendel.
Amen.
Great job.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for those two there. You know, I've known Dennis now for a while, and also Ken, and I'm just watching them grow and grow and grow in that spiritual walk, and that's what it's all about, to have the spiritual walk, you know, with God. It's a oneness with God, and to build that relationship. And I always say that if you're looking for religion, this isn't the ministry, this isn't the place. You know, this place here is, you know, about the relationship and the love of God, and to be transformed into the image that He really created you for. I mean, there's a Spirit of God that dwells in all of us that has a character, and God is trying to develop that character in each and every one of us. The way I look at it is, traditions and the prophets are what brings division around the world. And, you know, this ministry in itself doesn't have that division. It doesn't have, the separation of the truth. And so I just want to give thanks to the growth that this place has offered to give towards Dennis and Ken. And awesome. So let's give the Lord another hand of praise for that. Amen. With that being said, we're going to begin our message today. And, the Lord, I feel that He is leading us and guiding us, and He's transforming us by His word. And as we follow His word and follow the message that he's bringing us into, we're actually learning and we're receiving knowledge. And God says that my people are suffering and they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So I'm grateful for Him giving us the knowledge for us to be able to be transformed, to be renewed, to become born again. You know, and that's really the only way that we can become born again. That's the only way that we can enter into that eternal place or in the spirit. You can't enter the spirit. You can't come to a place of prayer. You can't come to know God in the flesh. How many people understand that one? God is a spirit, and we need to become spirits or spiritually minded in order to have a relationship with God. We were birthed into a nature, and we call it a carnal nature or a sin nature, or however you want to identify it. Now, I don't like to refer to it as a sin nature because it just kind of puts guilt and shame. I don't really believe that there is sin. I believe that there is evil, that when we entertain it and we give it birth, then it becomes sin. And that in itself, you need to really understand this ministry and follow it, because we're all scripture. We're all word. At the same time, I believe we're born in sin to the point where we all have seeds of sin. How many people understand that one? It's like we're a pod, and we all have seeds. We have seeds of sin, and we have seeds of divine nature, or God's will, or however you want to put it. And it depends on what we choose to entertain, and then we bring birth to that, and we become reborn. We become born again. And the whole purpose is to become born again into the divine nature and let that divine seed grow and be watered and nurtured and then become the fruit of whatever God created you for to be. And so I'm leading us and guiding us to be transformed into the image that God has created for us. Each one of you were born. And each one of you were born with a purpose. Each one was born with a character and a disposition to bring a uniqueness in the world, a uniqueness around us. If you look around, everyone's different. No two are really alike. Even identical twins, there's some differences. I mean, if you really want to, you can pluck their hair and do a DNA test, and there's going to be some differences in there. So with that being said, God is about to do something within this hour, just like He's doing something within every hour. But there's something special coming. I'm not a big end time guy or anything like that, but I do believe in the heavens. I believe in the stars. I'm not like an astrologist or a wizard or, you know, one of those. But the stars have meaning. The heavens have meanings. All of the prophets of old, you know, they followed, you know, the guiding lights and things of that nature. And everything was given by inspiration, dreams and visions, and they built things. And even today, things are built, whether it's a job, a career, or a family, a future, a hope, a dream, whatever it is, it's all built into that atmosphere of the spirit, imagination, or whatever, however you want to determine. You know, I always look at words are nothing more than a play of words. How many people got that one? You know, there's so many different variations of heaven. How about the definition of God? You know, God, some people don't even want to say God. They want to call it the universe. Oh, the universe is blessing me today. You know, oh, the universe is this. You know, however you want to label, I want to call it God. I want to call my supreme being God. I can't really label him as the universe, you know. It's almost like belittling the power of our creator. And so moving forward, our creator, God, is always forming our future, always forming current events, always forming life. And I believe that we are in a transition right now of an age. And there are many different ages. And I believe in Scripture, Jesus was also faced at an end of an age. And he mentioned about other ages coming. And then you'll hear, I think history repeats itself, where you'll hear rumors of wars and wars and pestilence and all that other stuff. But I believe we're entering into an age, a new age, and life is changing as we know it. If you look at the arise that is coming, I was speaking to Jim Franklin up there who runs our internet, and he even is starting to see how life in itself is just changing in our ways of thinking. Is, you know, not that we're getting old and we're old-minded, but you know, our values and everything else are beginning to change, and just things are just being changing. And so we can see these things on earth, but we need to begin to start seeing these changes in the heavenlies. And God has begun to instruct us, because I believe that his spirit is going to be poured out. I believe that there, what do you want to say, an invasion on earth. And because of this invasion on earth, God is trying to prepare his people so when this invasion comes, he can see you. So we need to be transformed into like a light. And we need to come into this image of light. And God has been leading us and guiding us and trying to show us how to come into this place of light. I remember before this message was started, he questioned us to see if we are sure if we are sons and daughters of God. What makes you a son and a daughter of the living God? Just because you confess certain traditional things? What really causes you to be a daughter and a son of God? Well, one of the things that God began to lead us to is entering into his place, or entering into his kingdom. And one of the signs of entering into his kingdom is righteousness, for one. We cast out guilt. You know, the things of the past, we don't realize we do. We do things because of lack of knowledge. It's almost like a bad investment. You know, we don't know how that investment is going to unfold. It's a gamble, right? Some win, some lose. But life is like that way. And when we tend to have losses, we carry guilt. How many people understand that one? I mean, we've all had losses in our lives, and we all had certain types of what we might call failures or mistakes, and we fall into a form of guilt. Well, God has started to teach us that the old things have passed away. We've become new. So we wash that guilt away, understanding the righteousness of God and not knowing the righteousness of man, and then showing us peace and joy, that there's a pearl of peace inside of us that we have to constantly protect and guard. And whatever is stealing our peace away, we have to learn how to either ignore it, walk away from it, or whatever. But he was telling us that it was very important to protect that pearl of peace. How many remember those messages? Okay. So now with us learning how to protect that pearl of peace, and we exercise that salvation by protecting, we're entering into the kingdom of God. We're walking by faith, because God and the relationship that calls us a son of God or a daughter of God is truly by faith. So you accept our Creator. Then you apply His word. And part of it was to polish that pearl of peace and protect that peace. And then he began to share us about the Lord's Prayer. And I started speaking messages about the Lord's Prayer. And it started off with, you know, glorifying God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then coming to a place of realizing that we don't have no control. So it's let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's an acceptance that God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And as we began to study this prayer, God began to show us that forgiveness was a big issue. Because if we don't forgive others, our Father in heaven can't forgive us. How many people remembered that message? Okay, so it's very important for us to follow the word of God. And as he leads us and guides us, he's preparing his people. And so we've taken that time when God began to share with us about forgiveness. We start applying these things to our life. Amen? I hope we're applying these things. I hope we're not just hearers of the word and not doers of the word. You know, so I hope and pray that as he instructs us and we give instruction, you know, we follow those instructions and we begin to apply them to our lives. It's very important, because when he does come, it's no different than those scriptures that we get in the Bible where, you know, the bride comes and our lamps aren't filled with oil. And then all of a sudden, you know, our lamps are, we don't have oil, and we go to the store to get oil and he comes and we're not there. You know, we don't want to miss what's happening. We don't want to miss the boat. You know, a lot of things that sometimes seems like a fairy tale. You know, how many people would agree with that one? You read some things in scripture, you read these stories, you hear these stories, and sometimes they just seem so far out there that they almost are like a fairy tale. But as you become more spiritually aware of things, the mysteries begin to unfold, and they are really no longer a fairy tale. Just like having a conversion and becoming born again, when, you know, your life is dramatically changed. Before my life was changed, I kind of took it as a, you know, people just grab hold of these religious things and they form groups, and then those groups turn into social clubs, and, you know, it's just a way for them to network and all that stuff. So, you know, and that's for them. You know, I'll just do my business and deal with life, and I'll fight the struggles that come, and there, you know, there is no God. Well, I had a rude awakening. I found out that there really is a God, because of what happened in my life. Some know my story, some may not. I don't have the time to tell it right now, but let's just put it this way. I once was this type of guy, and then within three earthly days was transformed into another type of God. And that guy, you know, is no longer alive. He's dead. And now there's a new guy that's totally set free and received divine knowledge and revelation and wisdom from above. And the mysteries of heaven have opened up, and now my eyes see. And I see all these things. I see why we're even here. What is the purpose of being here? And how to be instructed so that we can live free and fight these forces of evil and darkness, and then be able to embrace the heavenly powers that will allow us to be redeemed from the things that
are trying to destroy us and pull us into a place of an eternal damnation, I can say, or whatever it might be. And I try to share about my viewpoints of heaven and hell. And if I can make it real simple, there is an eternal place, and you can look at it as the nucleus is glory. That's the throne room of God where he sits. And hell is the furthest point away from that nucleus glory. And there's a reason why we have to war, and there's a reason why we have to have an understanding of the spirit, so that when we leave this earthly body, we can be as close as we possibly can to that realm of glory. You know, has anyone ever heard that phrase, he'll grant a seat right next to me, you know? And Jesus has been given a seat right next to him, and I'm sure there was others that were given a seat right next to him that wasn't recorded. But I want a seat right next to him. I want to get as close to the glory as possible. There's a place prepared for me, and there's a place prepared for you. Each and every one of you, there's a place prepared. Now, I want to get to that place. The things of this world has nothing to offer to me because it's going to be gone and fade away very shortly. What's 100 years? When you have eternity to weigh it out. And in eternity, there is no time. So the fairy tales that I heard from the past are no longer fairy tales to me anymore, because my life was changed and my eyes were opened up to the truth. And now I see. And so these no longer are fairy tales. This is reality. So now, as God is starting to show us about the importance of forgiving others, or our Heavenly Father can't forgive us, that was an eye-opener for me. Because then I began to start seeing certain scripture verses that said that you had devout people who love God come to a judgment, and then you hear this saying out of their mouth, "But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name." And then he says these words that shake me. "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." When I heard that, my heart started to fall out of my chest and I started to cry. I'm getting overwhelmed right now just thinking of this truth, because the last thing I ever want to do is be able to stand and think that I'm doing all these things in his name. I'm doing all these things to grow into a spiritual life and to be pleasing in the eyes of God, to make sure that I am a son or a daughter of the living God, and come to that place to be obedient to our Creator so that I can have that realm of glory, so that I can sit right next to that glory for eternity. You know, whether there's a job up there for me or whatever, I don't care. I don't want to be away from the glory. When you taste the glory, you understand what I'm talking about. When you know, there's some people who would hear these words like, "What the heck is the glory? What the heck is the glory? You know, what is that?" You know, but it's like describing something like this. You win the gold medal, or you hit a home run. Or you know, if you're a wrestler, you pin your first big guy or whatever. You know, you punch somebody, you knock them out for the first time, you actually see somebody knock out. You know, I mean, there's all these sense of glories that you can experience on earth. It's like a utopia, you know, and it does something with inside of you, and it's almost a form of victory. And I want that glory. You know, I've tasted the glory here. It done something divine to me. It changed my life. And now I'm succeeding to go forward, casting all that I have on this earth to go forward to this glory. And so when he began to start speaking to me about that scripture verse, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you," I started to think, and I realized that there's a mystery when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "How do we pray?" And I said, there's a mystery here, and I know the mystery. I know it because God says, if you ask, you'll receive. So I'm starting to ask God, "God, you show me this mystery, because the last thing I want is for you to say, 'Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you.'" So then he began to start showing me the importance that if you forgive others on earth, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. First thing I started to do was I started to hit my bucket list on all those people I wanted to kill. And then I started to say, you know what? I got to find myself a way to start forgiving these people. You know, and God even says that bless those who persecute you and come against you. And then he says, then now I call you a son of God. I call you a child of God. So then there was a backing there of what God was showing me. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to forgive everybody. I'm going to find a way to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, Jesus had an idea, and he knew it. You know, as he was getting persecuted on the cross, and you'll hear me bring up Jesus a lot. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to know the truth about him, I'll share it, because I saw him, and he spoke to me, and he told me to go back down and tell them about my Father. And that's what I'm elaborating on right now. He's my brother. Jesus is my brother. I'm going to tell you, he's my brother. And he is sitting right next to that glory, and I'm going to sit next to him or tell him, poof, move over, I'm coming over. But when he said, you know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, that is a powerful, powerful revelation for us to grab. They know not what they do. So anyone that has hurt you, anyone that has offended you, anyone that has come against you in any way, shape, or form, whatever it is, any bitterness, anger, hatred, resentment, fear, worry about certain issues, you know, listen, forgiveness comes even from issues. Don't have to be people, you know? And you have to learn how to forgive yourself. And that's a big one. So then I started to realize this forgiveness thing is big. And so I've been working on forgiveness, and I'm still working on forgiveness. And I hope we're all following that word and growing, because God is not going to stop and wait for us when we're ready to forgive. He's moving, okay? He's like the tides in a river, and he's moving. And we got to keep up with him. He's not going to hold back the waters, because he's waiting for you. Okay? That's why he created ministers and preachers like ourselves to cause an urgency and an importance to listen to the word and hear the word of God and grow with the word of God. When God instructs, the people listen and follow. As simple as that. So that's why I say it's very important to know God in spirit. Okay? So then when we came across and passed over this mystery of forgiveness, the Lord began to lead us into the next section of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. I began to start realizing that, you know, when we don't forgive, there's a form of leading into temptation. And you know, it causes us to get broken. It causes us to, when temptation comes, and then all of a sudden it kind of reverts back to guilt and shame, because all of a sudden there's a failure of some sort or another. So temptation is a bad thing. How many people understand temptation is a bad thing? Because the next phrase is, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. So obviously there's some strong man that is twisting your arm. Some strong man that's got you in a wrestling move, that's kind of got you in a full Nelson, and he's got your legs twisted, and you're like, ugh, and you're smacking the mat. And you're looking at the guy saying, can you hear me hitting the mat? You know? And that's the last thing that we want in our lives, is that evilness to come against us. So then after the prayer, it starts exhorting and lifting God back up, saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So there was a surrender there. Once the evil one comes on you, you realize that he's got a grip on you, and it's time to hit the mat. It's time to surrender and realize that God's glory and power and might is there. Well, this is where we're at right now. We're at a surrendering point, okay? And when I began to ask God, I said, all right, God, well, what is this surrendering thing? I know you got to surrender and just kind of let things go. But we did this in the beginning of your mystery prayer, that on earth as it is in heaven, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We understood a surrender in the beginning of this prayer. So what are you saying as far as this surrender? Then he started taking me into brokenness and started taking me into this broken, contrite heart. And God looks throughout the world for the broken, contrite heart. Now, one thing that you need to follow is that because God is doing something in this age, the end of this age, he's sending out his angels, let's say, or he's sending out his living creatures, or he's sending out his glory, or he's pouring out his spirit. Whatever play of words you want to use, find something that's comfortable. But he's pouring out his power to find that light. So he's going to and fro looking for the broken, contrite heart. He's looking for that broken, contrite heart. So then he began to start showing me that brokenness is one of the keys of being transformed into this light. How many of us want this bridegroom to come and embrace you? Or how many of us want us to just watch it pass by? I don't want this glory to pass by me. I want it to embrace me. So it needs to be attracted to the light. We have to be transformed into this light. So when he began to start sharing this brokenness, as soon as I began to wait on the Lord as far as brokenness, because I want to know what brokenness is, he began to share with me prayer. And I never realized that prayer is a part of brokenness. Because you need to understand that you have no strength or no power or no might to do anything, and you need to pray. You need to pray and seek help or seek guidance. Prayer is not a form of weakness. Prayer is a form of strength. Okay? And when he began to start showing me prayer, then he began to bring scripture verses into my head about praying without ceasing. And I'm like, how do you pray without ceasing, you know? And that's continuing to keep that broken, contrite heart, constantly looking up into heaven, saying, I can't do anything without you. Lord, you know my needs, you know my desires, you know your will. And I want this all in my life. And so he began to show me about prayer and how we need to pray constantly. And prayer, if I had to label it and make it a little easy for you to understand so that we can pray without ceasing, it's almost like a character or an attitude. It's a sense of disposition to carry yourself in a heavenly place, to put yourself in a mindset of meditating on things that are good, things that are noble, things that are wholesome, putting that mindset into that heavenly place, for thine is the power and the glory and the might forever and ever, amen. And giving that exhortation back to God. I don't know if you remember several weeks back, I spoke about prayer because God was doing something and he said, you know, stop kind of praying, stop asking, you know, I want you to stop focusing on your needs and everything because I know what you need. I need you to stop focusing on those things. Stop caring about your life, basically, you know, your job or your whatever you have in front of you that is causing worries and anxiety or what have you. Because most of the time we pray, there's a need. How many would agree with that one? There's a need that you have, and all of a sudden we tap in. Oh, God, you know, I'm coming before you, and I know that you're holy, and I honor you, and I glorify your name, and this is my punch list. And then we got our punch list. And then we spend it, and then we might even end it. And, you know, all glory and honor and power belongs back to you, Lord. And, you know, and we might even throw in that old, not my will, your will be done. And, you know, take this pressure off my chest, you know, as I come before you in this prayer and have a nice day. And then we focus on the things of the world again. You know, we function. And yes, we have to do these things. But God is saying, I want to change your world. I'm doing something. And I know what you need. And the things that you need, because I'm doing something, you know, I'll get you the things that you need. Don't worry about those. They're like small and minuscule. He's saying, I want you to prepare yourself. I want you to prepare your spiritual nature. I want you to become light. I want you to be conformed into my image, because I'm doing something and you need to be empowered by my spirit. In this hour, he's calling us to be empowered by his spirit, so that when he pours out his spirit, they attach themselves to us and we're empowered for the next chapter, for the new age. You know, there's an I don't know if you're going to follow me on this one, but there's an end of an age and then there's a start of a new age. And in that start of a new age, you know, God is empowering his people for the next move. There's another move of God coming. Whether, you know, revival, everybody talks about this great big revival. Well, you know, a lot of us might think that this great big revival is at the end of the age. Well, who's to say that it's not all new recruiters? Who's to say that it's not the end of the age? His generals are being empowered, because I look at everyone here as a general. And his generals are being empowered for the new age of revival for the new recruits. Do you hear me? So God is looking at generals and leaders. And I hope those that are listening on the website, and I know that there's some pastors and leaders that are logging on and are following this ministry. And I want them to hear that they are generals, and God is calling them to be empowered for the next move of revival, the new age that is coming. Because the new age that is coming is a newborn mindset that goes against your whole mindset now. You don't have this mind. We don't have this mind. How many people understand that a younger generation's mindset is so different than an older generation's mindset? Okay, and then you see very successful businesses grab a young mindset and throw them in a CEO position because they don't have that young mind to work along with the new technology and everything else. And it's very hard for an older person to get hired than it is for a new person. It's not because they're physically fit or anything. It's just because their creativity, their mind is being moved and poured out for the, I guess, platform that is laid out for our future. How many people grabbed that one? Okay, so because of that, you know, when you have an old mindset, and I'm not saying that an old mindset is bad, but if you don't have the wisdom of heaven, you can't relate to the new generation. And because you can't relate to the new generation, you're not going to have an understanding. And because you don't have an understanding, you're going to be in wars. You're going to be in arguments. You're going to be in disagreements. You're not going to like what they're doing. You're not going to like what they're saying. You're not going to have any understanding. Simple as that. How many people follow this one? I guess you have to be old to understand what I'm saying. But whether you're old or young, if you're in the transition, like I'm right now asking God to discern to me and show me which ones are in the new generation and been birthed into the new generation, and which one are in the old generation that is here. And who is already transformed, and who is being in that trans, transforming place. Because I look at my own three and I say to myself, are they victims or, I shouldn't say victims, but creations of this generation that is ending? Or are they a part of the new generation right now? You see? So I'm looking at them and I'm trying to discern, and I see that there's a balance of really both. But a lot has to do with this generation. So I look at them, if they're a part of this generation and then they haven't entered into the new generation yet, I look at them as leaders then. Because I believe that anybody that's raised up in this generation right now at this time are leaders. And it's very important for them to hear this message so that they're transformed into the light. Because it's the light that's empowering the gospel message, really. It's the gospel message, to take the gospel message and take it over to the next generation. See, the world is never going to end. How many people understand that one? Okay, there's promises in the Bible. He says, I'm never going to destroy the world. Okay, but he never said he isn't going to destroy generations. He never said that he's going to eliminate one sense of thinking or what have you. Because if you really look at the truth, what is the core nucleus of ministry? What is the core nucleus of being born again or having eternal life? When you see someone come into ministry, what is the main thing that they have to do? Yes, have faith. Yes, begin to believe in God. But the main thing is changing the way they're thinking. So the mindset, okay, is generation to generation to generation. Minds have been altered and changed through generations, through generations, through generations. So the empowerment that God is pouring out His Spirit is giving us the wisdom to be able to be empowered to change the next generation's mindset. How many people understand this one? Okay? You're leaders. You might be small leaders, and some of you might be big leaders, but we are called right now as leaders for the revival. And we need this empowerment with revelation. See, that's why they called the last book in the Bible Revelations. Don't you think that revelation was poured out at the end of the age, and their minds were equipped and empowered to be able to bring the next mindset into repentance? This is deep. And we're called to bring this next revival to a place of repentance so that we can battle the spiritual forces that are out there. Because, all right, let's look at it this way. How many would agree with me right now that there's a generation and their thinking is a little challenging from your thinking right now? What would you think? Some of the things that they come up with and some of the things that they say are like, like, huh? Really? And the way they see the world, they see the world different. Okay? And that's why this move of God is altering and empowering our minds to be able to relate and see the world into the new generation. When God says to bring salvation, He says to become all things to all men to win them the more. Do you think some old mindset person is really going to try to tell a new mind something like God? The old mindset of God was, we know, right? What's the new mindset of God today? The universe, you know? Maybe Mother Nature. maybe a greater sense of alienation. Whatever it is. You know? The empowerment of the Spirit is going to say and look spiritually at that person and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because what happens when you know something and you're trying to tell somebody something and they just don't hear it? They just don't see it. They just don't get what you're saying. Does it cause a little anger in you? Does it cause a little bit of frustration? Does it cause division? Get away from me. You don't know what I'm really talking about, you know? And then you try to, you know, you kind of go to people who really can follow what you're saying or what have you. You don't take the patience. You don't have the patience. You don't have the, you know, the compassion or whatever. You're not taking the time to work with them. Or come around, like Sam and I, we were in Texas, and I love them guys. I forget their names. They prophesied over us, and they said they're going to, God's going to give you the empowerment to go around the enemy and hit them with the haymaker. So what he was saying is, you know, we're going to come around and the enemy's not even going to know. And all of a sudden, bam, we're going to hit them. I believe it's because the Spirit of God is giving us the wisdom. Amen. I gotta end this message because I'm running out of time. And He's empowering us so that our mind is able to see this new generation and be able to relate and bring the gospel across, you know, and not be so adamant about religion or tradition. And maybe say, you know what, it's okay to call my God the universe. And if you're offended by it, you know, oh well, because I have to reach this, yeah, I'm in the business to save souls. I'm not in the business to appease your religion. I'm here to save souls. So if I need to call my God the universe, guess what? My heart is more saving souls, you know, than to try to appease somebody. Now, I already told you in the beginning, my God is not the universe. My God is my God. But if I have to start saying to the generation that is entering in to the new generation, because this generation is dying and fading away, it's, you know, some of us are being raptured, whatever you want to call it, then I need to receive the empowerment and the glory that is being poured out and look at these people with the eyes of God. Because can you imagine God looking at each generation coming up and seeing from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob transform into today? I think our verbiage and everything else is a little off, right? Could you imagine God being like, you got to see it this way, and you got to call me that, and you got to be, you know, la, la, la. You know, it's just not happening. So God is saying to us as leaders, my Spirit is going to be poured out for a revival. And my revival is not the end time age revival. My revival is for the new generation that is coming. And that is so awesome. That is getting me so excited. I'm saying to myself, wow, Lord, you know, here the whole time I'm thinking we're saving the end of the age people, you know. We're bringing the end of the age, you know, last hoopla of this is your last chance to be saved. You know, and if you don't get saved now, you're going to burn. God is like, I'm pouring out my Spirit now. If they don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying now and they're not catching what I'm saying now, then I'm just going to pass by them, raise up the leaders that I need to raise up, because I raised up Gideon, and you know, I told Gideon how I'm going to beat this army with only a few, and if I only have 144,000 that understand the light and only got the light, then for the next harvest that I have coming for this new generation, then so be it. I don't care. I'm God. This truth is for your own savings of your soul, and if he passes by, he passes by. That's why I was saying, if you heard the messages prior, I say, God is doing something. And it's like putting the blood around the doorposts. And when that spirit passed by, whoever had the blood covering, that spirit, you know, passed by and didn't hurt you. Well, this is almost the opposite kind of thing right now. God is saying that you have to have the light around your doorpost, you know, so that the spirit can embrace you and not pass by you. How many of us want this outpouring of the Holy Spirit? How many of us truly want to be endued with power so our minds are changed and we don't come into this, I want to say, old-time religion and offend and hurt the new generation whose mind cannot comprehend the old? How many people follow that one? Okay? You know, you around any young people, you'll see that they'll be like, ah, you're old and your thinking's old and, you know, I don't have time for you. And they don't even want to listen. Even though the older people are supposed to have all the wisdom and everything else, you know. Yes, that was when you were in the middle of an age. We are at an end of an age. This is a whole different thing. And that's why it's so important to hear what God is saying. So when he began to start telling me about prayer, okay, and I'm going to end this real quick, and then I'll pick up next week on this message. Prayer, there was a reason why we went into a fast, or he called a fast, okay? He said that this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. So God is trying to cleanse us. He's trying to work with us and have us delivered of any type of foreign obstacles that are in us that is blocking the light. If our eye is light, our whole body becomes light. And what we need to do is we need to start seeing the light. We have to not judge. We have to come into an unforgiving or a forgiving, unconditional love. And we have to come to that place of peace, walk away from the things that are fighting us so that our heads aren't clouded up and we can think. We're trying to get a new mind here. This is supernatural, okay? Has anyone ever been angry or frustrated and they just can't think? Okay, well, God's saying, I need to renew your mind. So in order for you to have a clear mind, we got to get all this darkness out. One of the things was in prayer, fasting was part of it. And this only comes out through prayer and fasting. So the darkness that is in us has to come out. Now, whether that fast is food or whatever, God has called me to a very unique fast. And I know that Sam is part of it. He thought it was might have been food, but now he's starting to understand that it's not food, it's something else. But it don't matter how you're fasting, okay? As long as there's brokenness and humility and you're coming under some self-control, okay? And you're able to resist so that these things flee. And God will use all kinds of things in your life to build this up inside of you. Mine happened to be shave my head, and that brought a lot of humility in my life because my hair is everything. It's like, don't touch my hair, you know. Some of us men might know what I'm talking about, right? Don't put a razor to my head now. Don't pick me. But mine was shave my head, and then the other one was to resist all types of temptation, all types of fear, worry, anxiety, anything that's going to try to steal my joy, try to take my mind from meditating on him. You know, I am at a position of praying daily, without ceasing. And my heart is exercising, my mind is exercising, always looking at the glory of God, always looking how great and wonderful he is, always looking at, okay, God, where are we going now? What are we doing now? And not having lost all control of everything. You know, if God wants to bless me, these blessings may come through people, but it's God who's blessing me. If these things are taken away from me, it's not taken away from people, but it's taken away, God is removing them from me. So knowing, becoming more spiritually minded and not looking so carnally minded, then this is like my fast, to resist these natural things and become more spiritually minded. And this is the prayer that God is calling us in. He's calling us to pray without ceasing right now, looking at his glory. Not, you know, don't pray for your wants and needs. Okay? Pray for his glory. Pray to see him. Pray for his kingdom to come. Pray in that sense. And then there's types of prayers. And scripture's, you know, clear on this about, you know, tongues and stuff like that. And I'm not expecting you to learn that language or, you know, however God leads you. I believe the Spirit is being poured out. And if you're ready for that, he'll give you that language. And if you don't know what to pray for, you pray in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. If some of you might know that language, maybe some of you don't. Maybe some of you agree with it. Maybe some of you don't. It don't matter to me. I can care less. I'm an old-time religious guy, okay? And he's given me that language when I came out of my reborning state, and I just embraced it, and now this language comes with interpretation, and not only does it come interpretation, it's an awareness and a knowledge of knowing that I can communicate within spirits. So when I speak in that language, I can communicate to the spirit in another person, and then they speak back to me in that way of unawareness. But that's another whole different gift than ever. You know, that's me. That's my personal thing with God. But he has given the eyes to be able to see, and I think it's time now to really get excited because we're on the threshold. We're on the threshold of something special, something great, something big. And I want to say to those that are hearing me now, whether you're here today or you're over there on the internet, on the worldwide net there listening, or if it's even a pre-recorded message, you're a leader for now. You are called to be a leader. And God is saying, don't worry about what to do right now. Just worry about, be concerned, I should say, about being equipped into the light. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise because I have to close now. But I'm going to call Pastor Sam up. He's going to give us that closing statement as far as what's happening and what's going on with our week and everything else. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Real quick. I see we're all wearing clothes today. You know, we all picked our outfits. We picked our clothes, our shirts, our pants, what we're going to wear today. God's given us an amazing gift. It's called the free will. It's called the power to choose. You choose everything. If we simplify this gospel to the point where it's a choice, God said, choose this day who you're going to serve, whether you're going to serve the lie of the mind or the truth in the heart. And if we serve the lie in the mind, we lose all of our peace, lose all of our joy. But if we choose the truth in the heart, it starts fighting against those lies. It's the only defense we have against the lies that are in our minds that are trying to kill, steal, and destroy God's will in our lives. It says, real quick, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say transform yourself. It says, be ye transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Someone else is doing the transformation. All we have to do is be obedient to choosing, following truth, or following the lie. We have to simplify this gospel. All the time I'm putting his messages in my car. If I have a 10-minute drive, if I have a 30-minute drive, the truth of the messages that are in his place are always battling against the lies in my mind. No matter how many times I listen to that, there's always another lie, always something trying to come against my peace, my joy, of knowledge of who God is. So I have to meditate on these things constantly. I used to say, you know, it's a good idea. Now I'm saying it's a necessity. I'm saying time's coming short. You know, before my father passed away, Tim and I had a meeting with him about 3 months before he died. And I said, Dad, God's taking you shortly. He was right there. I said, God's taking you. I don't know how God told me to tell him. God is taking you short. I said, double your time with him. Double your time with him. God's saying, double your time with him. Now, all of us. He's coming quickly. This new move is coming. And like Pastor said, we can't stop it. And we don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Don't be the one sitting on the sideline watching this run right by you. Get into this truth now. How do we get rid of the lies in our mind to resist the enemy? It's simple. The gospel's very simple. If we resist the enemy has to flee. It has to, because it has nothing else to eat. It's starving. We're not feeding it. We're not feeding it anymore. We're not entertaining the lies anymore. We're applying the truth that's spoken in here from the beginning. There's a lot of messages. Start listening to them. Understand that that is your food. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not worthy of the gospel. Let's start eating him all the time. You don't have to have a tough life. We choose to believe the truth or believe the lie. We believe the lie, God's going to say, yo, listen, I got to smack you back into place again. I got to beat you a little bit. I'm done getting beat. I don't want to get beat anymore. I'd rather just submit and humble myself. So listen, let me hear the truth today. Let me put a message in and come against the lies that I'm believing right now that are stealing my peace and joy. Constantly meditating on it. That's what he's talking about by prayer all the time. Listening to this truth all the time. Getting it into you all the time. If you're having a tough day, take a ride in your car. Put a CD on. Listen to the truth. It's going to change your thinking right away. There's a truth in this place that if you listen to it and you resist the enemy, God will transform you by the truth. We call it brainwashing. The truth goes up, takes an eraser, and erases all the lies that you're listening to. And then that truth is able to be written on your heart by constant meditation on the truth. We can't fight a battle that you can't see. It's simple. We'll be transformed by listening to this truth over and over and over and over and getting it into us until it's who you are. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not difficult. Just put a CD on. Can't make it any easier than that. You don't have to go out there and plow 10,000 fields. You just have to submit and put a CD on and listen to the truth and let it cleanse your mind and heal you, deliver you, and set you free. This is what we're here offering. God's offering this to all of us, salvation. He's coming quickly. Let's eat him and drink him and enjoy him and receive the love of God through his truth. Amen? Wednesday night, we have our Wednesday night service. It's been excellent. It's been getting stronger every week. God's moving. My cousin came this past Wednesday. He couldn't believe the message. It was. He couldn't even look at us. He's missed a little time here. He said, you guys were speaking. I couldn't even look at you. It was so powerful. He said it was unbelievable. I give you the testimony. He didn't tell me until later on, but he'll tell you. He was transformed. He needed that night. You got to get in here. It's incredible. It is really incredible. Wednesday nights, 7:30 it starts. And then Sundays, 10 o'clock worship. 11 o'clock is the message. And we're having a little birthday party for Carter today. And how old is he, Melinda? He's 3 for Carter. Hey, hallelujah, huh? Guys, it was great having you. And have a great week. Amen. And this ends the service.